Out there, so you're going to have to speak up a little louder. Say, you're going to have to make up for those that aren't here. So one more time, on the count of three, we'll do one, two, three, and then we'll do it. Okay? You got to do it loud this time, though. Ready? One, two, three. Praise the Lord! All right, I'm just joking around a little bit, but as you can see, a number of us are missing today. There's a number of sicknesses in the congregation, but we're continuing to have church. Amen. And so we're just thankful that everyone here made it out through the bad weather and all of the different types of things that might have stopped you here tonight. We're just glad that we have some folks here who are here to worship God. Praise the Lord. Pray for those who are sick and need and also hear the word of the Lord tonight. But the side will be preaching and it's going to be awesome. If you are here as a guest tonight, I don't believe I see, maybe they have some guests here. If you're a guest here, we have a connection card. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. You may be seated. Sorry about that. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. So we have a card like this. It's in the back kiosk. We'd like to have you fill that out. We have a small gift for you. And if you're online, you can join it. You can fill out that card right there at the bit.ly link. It's on the bottom there, CGC Connections. And so we'd like to just have you fill that out and get to know you a little bit better. Maybe you can be a part of some of our small groups in our church, and that'll be awesome. We have some announcements. Let's see here. Well, first of all, we have some giving options. They got that up there on the screen for me tonight because I'm obviously not got it all going on upstairs today. I'm just like floating around up here. So the very first thing that, you know, you can do is you can give at the kiosk in the back. It's the crystal clear box. You can also give online, or you can give by mail, or you can give through the mobile app. Anybody using the mobile app yet with their tithes and offerings? It's awesome. It works really fast and just pretty cool. And so other announcements we have. This Saturday there was a Section 3 men's breakfast that it has been canceled. It was in Monroe. So if any of you heard the one announcement that we made, there's been some COVID outbreaks in their church that was hosting it, and so they just decided to cancel, and we'll put that off, and we'll reannounce that whenever we're able to reschedule. This Saturday, there's a secret pal reveal for the ladies. It's and also the 2022 name draw. So if you're part of the secret pal, that's going to meet at the Deerfield Coffee House at 4 p.m., for coffee and fellowship, and then they'll have a reveal and drawing at 5 p.m. and optional dinner afterwards. All right, this Sunday, 10 a.m., classes will be kicking off our God's Word for Life curriculum. We've heard a little bit about that from Pastor Peter and from Pastor Roy, but this will be an ongoing every Sunday event that will be happening at the 10 a.m. service. We'll have a special teaching, and it'll be a scope and sequence type situation. We'll be able to follow it through the entire year, and so we're excited for that. What is being taught in our adult Bible classes will also be taught to our children and youth classes. So everyone in the entire church will be taught the same content with modified curriculum for the age group that they might be in. And so the devotions for the next week will be made available also for everyone. And we just want to grow together in the Lord, amen? And so in order for us to do that, we need to learn more and more about him. And so this is the best way. This is, some people have asked, where did we come up with this? And our headquarters, our UPCI headquarters, they have developed this over a course of a couple years now, and they've launched this, and they'll be continuing to launch more and more of this curriculum. And so it's been vetted, and it's been looked at, and it's an awesome curriculum, and we're just excited to be having that here at Calvary Gospel Church. All right. At this time, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. So the list is really long of people who have special needs. There's been a lot of things that have occurred over this week, different individuals having different types of sicknesses, not just COVID-related. We've had some folks that have had close co-workers pass away and other things like that. So what we're doing, we're not going to go through the list of that tonight. We're actually asking everyone that's here tonight to join us on Friday night here at for prayer in the sanctuary. We're going to have corporate prayer, and that'll be Friday night. And so we want everyone to join with us. We're going to take some special time and have some special devoted time for prayer for those all the different needs in our congregation. But is anybody here tonight that has a special unspoken or a need that they need to have prayed for? If you'd just like to lift your hand. All right, we got a couple needs in the congregation. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just pray that God will have his way in the service and have his way with everything that's happening this week, all the different situations with our folks that are sick and out and different types of needs. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, tonight that you'll touch, Lord, every person here, every hand has been raised, oh God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll touch the families who have been affected by COVID tonight. We ask you, God, to touch the families that have been affected by accidents and different things that have happened around the city of Madison, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll touch, oh God, all of those individuals who are alone right now, desperate, Lord. Maybe they're missing new family members for the first time, Lord God. We ask you just to touch all of these situations, God. Lay your hand on them, Lord God. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because thank you.
Praise God. Let's lift our hands again. What a precious gift we have to be able to experience God's presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a gift our musicians are, right? Praise God. Glory to God. Please take out your Bibles or your devices or your Bible quizzer's memory, whatever it is, that where you have your scripture, Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, the story of the rich ruler. I've gotten a lot of understanding from this story over the years. Every time I go over it, I get something else from it. I should say the Lord gives me something else. I hope it's from the Lord, not my own head, but I believe that God has used it many times to teach me. So Luke 18:18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." There's a whole message right there. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your presence in the flesh when you came to save us. Thank you, God, for the promises of your presence for eternity. We surrender ourselves to you tonight and ask for you to minister to us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yet thou lackest one thing, just one thing. I've received a lot of grades over the years. It was a shock to me in high school when I got my first D in geometry. It was a semester grade. I picked it up later, but it was a terrible awakening. And then when I went to college, I got a lot more C's and D's than what I ever had before. Because I always strived to get an A on everything I did. That was my goal. Some grading systems, it's 90% and up. Some, it's 92% and up. I had some professors where it was a 95 to get an A. And usually an A was enough to make me happy. A B was acceptable, but I wasn't really happy with it. Unless I knew that it was a really... the course was out of my league, and I was, and a C was a serious warning. Something's wrong here. We all get graded in different ways, but nothing compares to 100. 100%. On top of the page, every answer correct, a perfect paper, but almost worse than a B or a C is a 98 or a 99. One question. Oh, and I knew that answer too. Just that one question, just one thing. Just almost 100%. The rich young ruler thought he had a perfect paper. And he was turning it into Jesus, and Jesus said, "Yeah, almost. But you're lacking one thing." That one answer, that one thing. "But I've kept all of these commandments from my youth up," he said. Now, don't answer this out loud, because somebody near you knows the truth about it, but How many of us can say that we have such a clean record from our childhood going forward? Jesus, can you imagine going to Jesus and saying, I think my life is 100%. Yikes. Proverbs 27 says this, 1 and 2, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Of course, in America, we have a saying that goes, that says all this. It says, don't go blowing your own horn. Jesus did not even give this man a grade. He didn't tell him whether, you know, just how, what he said was kind of, that's pretty good. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, look, everybody, the perfect example of a godly man. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'll give you an A-. Because the man had already graded himself. God has a way of doing that. If you're gonna grade yourself and toot your own horn, and he kind of lets us put ourselves out there and reveal ourselves until before he comes and lets us know, you're still lacking one thing. The story of the publican and the sinner, the publican and the Pharisee, is a reflection of this kind of thing in Luke 18. Verse 9, he said, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Sounds a lot like the rich ruler, doesn't it? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God has a way of showing us the one thing. If only we were paying attention. The one thing we need to do. The one thing we're lacking. The one thing we've overlooked. Just that one thing. Just about the time that you think you have it all in place. Corinthians says, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. For there's no temptation that has taken you but what is common to man. See, we always need to recognize that Jesus is the perfect one. In the passage just before this parable, Jesus said that we must receive the kingdom of God as a little child. We have to receive it. We don't get to determine how. We don't get to determine how much. We don't get to determine just what it is. We need to receive it as it is. We receive the kingdom of God on his terms. He's the one who gives the grades, not us. We have to evaluate ourselves, that's true. But God is the ultimate judge. Sometimes we judge ourselves too harshly. And unfortunately, sometimes we judge others. And either way, it's not our business. That's God's business. He's the one who's grading the paper. That's why the Lord is so adamant about us not judging our brothers. If he told us a parable, we can't even see the speck in a brother's eye because of the 2x4 in our own eye. Maybe your one thing is just a speck of dust to you. Maybe my one thing is just, it's just a speck. But it might be a 2x4 and I don't even realize it. Just one thing can keep us from the will of God. Just one thing can keep us from eternity. Just one thing. Jesus went to the country of the Gadarenes, the area, and there was a man that was full of devils, and he cast out what the Bible says was a legion of demons out of that man. And it was a very public event because of the swine that were killed, and everyone knew who this guy was because he had created such a problem for the surrounding area. And sometimes when, in our experience here, not just at Calvary, but in general, when someone has a great deliverance, we kind of put them up on a pedestal. Even though maybe they don't really have much more of an experience with God than a great deliverance. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to have a great deliverance. But in fact, we have a habit sometimes of just lauding that person and pouring out the attention and giving them responsibility before they're ready for any of that. Suddenly they're placed in a position that it's beyond their spiritual maturity. They think they're ready to take on the world because of the great thing God has done for them. But that's not what Jesus said to the man who had the demons cast out of him. That guy was ready to go on the circuit with Jesus. He said, let's go, I'll be your right-hand man. Jesus said, no, you need to stay here. Verse 38 of Luke 8, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Just, I'm only asking you to do one thing, Jesus said. Just do one thing. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I had a conversation with someone today, and a situation like this came up. Now, I really never saw the movie, but I've seen the scene where Rocky runs up the steps of this Philadelphia City Hall, I think it is, and he gets to the top, and he raises his hands, and that's a glorious moment. He's in his sweats. And it showed that he's worked so hard to get to this point. But it's the emblem of all of his efforts that prepared him to go and have this big fight, this big bout. But a lot of people, they want to just find out where the elevator is and ride that up to the top and skip all those steps. We need to do one thing. And that's the thing that God has called us to do right now. The thing that he has put in front of us. The thing that he has put on our heart. Just one thing. Sometimes the one thing that God wants us to do is the thing that we have to do before we can do the next thing. And the next thing. And the next thing. And we have it in our heart to do that thing down the road, but in fact, God says, no, do this one thing. Make it the prayer meeting on a regular basis. Come to church every week. Establish a prayer life. Witness to your neighbor. Whatever it is that God has placed on our heart, we need to do that one thing. One thing. Praise God. Jesus was waiting by the seaside after his resurrection, and some of the apostles were out in a boat fishing. It appears, and there's a lot of opinions about this, but it appears that the apostles got tired of hanging around, or they were impatient, or maybe they were just unsure of what's next. But whatever it is, they kind of reverted to old habits, and they said, well, let's go fishing. And I don't know, I think that's a pretty good idea to go fishing. I like that idea. But in fact, while they were out fishing, I'm not sure they were doing anything wrong. It may have been that they were diverting their energies to leisure when they should have been studying or doing something else. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And Jesus didn't upbraid them or condemn them for what they were doing. But he showed up on the seashore, and he called out to them. And they recognized who he was, and they came in. And of course, we know that Peter jumped out of the boat and swam in. And when they got there, he had a few personal moments with some of them. We all need personal moments with Jesus. Otherwise, we'll never know what that one thing is. If you don't have those, sometimes God just needs to talk to us. And we need to listen. He kind of pinned Peter down a little bit. Caused Peter to focus a little more intently on his calling, I think. And Peter, we kind of fill in the blanks, but I think Peter was kind of embarrassed a little bit because Jesus called him out, nailed him down. And he said, well, what about John? Well, I get it. What about him? And it just shows how real God is. Jesus said, that's none of your business. He said, it doesn't matter. You do the one thing I'm calling you to do. Feed my sheep. Take care of your responsibility. Do what I'm calling you to do. And I'll deal with John. I'll take care of him. How many of us have had God deal with our hearts about ministry or about a relationship or about a behavior pattern? In our response, after we know that God has talked to us, we look at someone else. Well, what about him? What about her? Just do that one thing. I'm convinced that tonight, someone online or someone in this place, maybe someone behind the pulpit, that God's talking to us about doing the one thing that he wants us to do. Do that. Then do the next thing. Then do the next thing. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, John 21:20, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? That's a really pointed response. Follow thou me. Jesus said, Peter, you don't have to worry about what I have planned for John. He and I will work out his ministry. Jesus told a parable about a wedding feast. A man prepared a great wedding feast for his son, and all of the dignitaries and important people that he invited had reasons why they couldn't come. They all had one thing. One had his farm. I got to take care of my farm. Another one had his business. Some disrespected the messengers. Yeah, that you're not important enough to me to respond to that. One thing or another got in the way of their accepting the invitation. So the rich man invited people from the highways and the byways, and his house was full. And Jesus used a parable to show how the Jews that they would miss out on the kingdom of God if they let anything get in the way of God's invitation through Jesus Christ. And the people in the highways and the byways, they were more than willing to come to the feast. They would not let anything get in the way. Except for one man. He didn't have a wedding garment. See, the way the wedding party took place in those days, it was not a one-day thing. Sometimes it was as much as a week or longer. And there were certain protocols. And when you showed up, you were given directions on where you were going to stay, and you were given oftentimes certain clothes you were supposed to wear. You were supposed to dress a certain way, and there were certain protocols you were supposed to follow. And this one man, he let one thing get in the way. He skipped part of the process. There was a way to be a part of this feast, and he didn't follow the protocol. He let one thing get in the way. And I know I'm talking to a room full of Pentecostals. And I think, if not everyone, most everyone here has been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. But we can still let one thing get in the way. Don't let one thing, just one thing. We get hung up on maybe a person. Maybe something we do in church, maybe the way service is done. I'm just making things up, but we get hung up on some of the goofiest things sometimes. I can't stand the way Brother Seidel preaches. Don't let one thing come between you and God's plan for your... I like that church, but the music's so loud. Oh, I like that church, but nobody called me 10 minutes after I got home. We find, I would get baptized, but my grandma never got baptized in Jesus' name, and I believe she's in heaven. I feel God is calling me, but we come up with one thing. My job, I need to make some money before I answer God's call. I need to finish my education, or I don't have enough education to be a preacher, or I've got to take care of my house, or my kids require all of my time. We find so many reasons not to do the thing that God's calling us to do. Well, my wife, you know, she's not really sold on this. Just one thing can keep us from eternal life. One thing can keep us from the will of God in our lives. One more illustration. There's a difference between these two phrases. If only and only if. If only and only if. I could get more work done if only there wasn't so much noise. If only there wasn't so much noise. If only I had the money, I would get the operation. If only I were rich. If only I were not so fat, I'd be able to get into these pants. The tone of that phrase, if only, is to say it's kind of wishful thinking. It's never going to happen, or it's not likely, but if only it would. If only, I don't really have any expectation of that ever happening. If only, especially the part about not getting into my pants. If only. But then if you say, only if. All right. I would get the operation only if I had the money. I'll come to the party only if I can bring my friend with me. These are phrases that say, I'm willing. I'm ready to make the effort, but there's one thing in the way. Now, there's a lot of people in this world, they're living only if lives. And there's others that are living if only lives. If only this. You know, if only God would allow certain things in life to be okay, then I would go to church. If only the church didn't preach about sin, then I would... Those things are never going to happen. That's an excuse. That's wishful thinking. That's saying, I'm not even going to make the effort. And there's a lot of people out there that are living that kind of life. If only God would be what I wanted him to be, then I would obey him. And that's never going to happen. That's a cop-out. That's an excuse. But then there are those that are saying, only if. They're putting conditions on God. They're saying, I would if God would just this one thing do what I want him to do. I would obey the call of God only if I can have this. Only if I can be promised that I won't have to go to Africa. One thing. I just feel like we do that, and there are people here tonight that are placing conditions on the will of God. Just before Luke gave us this parable, he told us about something that Jesus said. Luke 18:15-17. And if you know anything about the way the book of Luke goes, it's primarily chronological, but he's selective about what he includes in any given section of his gospel. And usually the stories that he includes and the teaching that Jesus does, they flow from one to another, and you can see how a certain section of the gospel is all related. So we first read about the rich ruler and how he lacked one thing and how he was so close to being what he needed to be, so close to the kingdom of God except for lacking one thing. But the writer Luke, just before including that story in his gospel, wrote this, verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. There's a direct relationship between this story about Jesus and the parable that Luke included next. Be like a child, Jesus said. I think there's a lot of different ways to interpret that. But I think what Jesus is saying, that we need to be dependent upon God. We need to trust God. When he says, go, we need to believe that he's going to empower and enable us to go. When he tells us to stop, we need to trust God and be dependent on his wisdom, knowing that he wants us to stop for our best interest. As a child depends on their parent for what is in their best interest. They trust the parent to do the right thing. Let's stand. Be like a child dependent on God for your future, for your livelihood, for your marriage, for your ministry, for your job, whatever it is in your life that you're seeking answers for. We need to be like a child, but don't let that one thing that God is calling you to do, don't let that one thing be out of your reach. You know, we can be really good Christians. We can score a 95, and the world around us gives us an A, or the church itself gives us an A, but I want to have 100%. I want to stand in the presence of God knowing that I'm right in the middle of his will. that I've answered his call, that I'm doing what I know to do. I want to get that one thing out of the way. Now, that may be something in your life that you know is wrong. You know is sin. You know it's holding you back. And of course, now is a good time to get rid of that one thing. Or sometimes it's something that it's not wrong, but it just draws your energy. It takes away your focus. It distracts you from what you should be doing. And that one thing is keeping you from fulfilling God's will. Or maybe it's the one thing that seems to always be a problem. Something that you need to work on to overcome. Anger, bitterness, whatever it is, responsibility, caring for others. One thing. I think this time of year is a good time to focus on, find out what that one thing is. Take care of that one thing. Just one thing. And God will help you get to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. Praise God. Amen. I want to give you a chance to come and pray. Bring that one thing down here on the altar and leave it here. Surrender to Jesus. Make a commitment. Let him talk to you about it. Let him give you direction. Let him give you instruction. That's something we overlook. It's not just the emotion of having an experience here, but it's the what we do when we leave here, how we respond. One thing. What's the one thing in your life? What one thing can you take care of tonight? What one thing can you surrender? What one thing can you lay aside? What one thing can you give to Jesus? Praise God. If you do that, the road will be clearer. His will be nearer. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's worship.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so very much, Brother Seidel. That one thing, and it's usually that one thing, isn't it? That one thing. The day went good other than that one thing. Yeah, the trip was great other than one. Oh, thank you so very much, that one thing. Thank you so very much, Brother Seidel, and thank you for coming out. I know we have such a flood of folks that have come down sick with all kinds of things that are going around right now. Some of you have asked about Bishop. He did come home from the hospital today. He does have COVID. My mother has COVID. So they're both not anything real serious. Bishop was not in the hospital because of COVID. He had another infection, and so they were kind of discovered and tested for COVID while they were dealing with the other infection. But they're both back home. Just continue to pray for them. And as I said, we have a number of folks that are sick, and just continue. We'll cover some of that on Friday night in our prayer meeting. But God bless you all. Drive safe out there. Be safe. Love you all. Appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you again to our music team and our worship team. Thank you so very much. God bless. And Brother, yes, you too back there, Brother Jordan. Thank you, Jordan. Let's all give Jordan a big hand. God bless.